Welcome to Twist for the week of December 12th. This is Sarah McGann from KPMG's Washington National Tax State and Local Tax Practice. First up today, we have a few corporate income tax developments. An ALJ for the New York Division of Tax Appeals recently addressed whether taxpayers that filed a New York combined return met the criteria to be classified as a qualified emerging technology company, or QETC. Recall, such entities were allowed to use the 6.5% corporate rate applicable to qualified New York manufacturers for the 2012 through 2014 tax years at issue. The ALJ rejected the taxpayers' arguments that the attributes of combined group members should be aggregated and considered together to determine whether a taxpayer met the criteria of being a qualified emerging technology company. In Michigan, Senate Bill 195, which has passed both chambers of the legislature, would revise how the 163J limitation is computed for Michigan corporate income tax purposes retroactively for tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2022. In addition, the Michigan Department of Treasury recently released Revenue Administrative Bulletin 2022-23, addressing the calculation of pro forma federal taxable income for a unitary business group. The bulletin stresses that there will be differences between federal taxable income for federal and Michigan purposes because of the state statutory adjustments required to be made to pro forma federal taxable income, and the fact that the federal consolidated return regulations are not followed for purposes of computing pro forma federal taxable income under the Michigan corporate income tax law. Moving on to sales tax developments, the California Office of Tax Appeals recently ruled that initial franchise fees paid under a franchise agreement were subject to sales and use tax. The taxpayer entered into franchise agreements that purportedly gave its franchisees the right to operate one of the taxpayer's ATMs in California and to use the taxpayer's trademarks. In exchange for an initial franchise fee, the franchisee also received an ATM and training on the use of the ATM. The issue before the Office of Tax Appeals was whether the entire initial franchise fee was subject to sales tax or just the portion of the fee related to the transfer of tangible personal property. Because the transaction constituted a bundled transaction for intangibles and tangible personal property, and the ATM was physically useful, if not essential, to the operation of a trademarked ATM business, the Office of Tax Appeals concluded that the entire initial franchise fee was subject to sales and use tax. In a recent ruling, the Louisiana Department of Revenue determined that the sale of electricity at an electric vehicle charging station was a taxable retail sale of tangible personal property. Although the Louisiana Constitution excludes from sales and use tax the sale of utilities furnished to a single private residence, the electricity here was not being purchased for residential use. In addition, although purchases of electricity for business use are subject to a lower sales tax rate, the electricity sold at charging stations was not being purchased for business use. In other sales and use tax news, the Missouri Department of Revenue ruled that an out-of-state vendor that dropped shipped the manufacturer's products from the manufacturer to customers within Missouri was required to collect and remit Missouri sales tax on its drop shipment transactions. The department's rationale appeared to be that title to the products first transferred from the manufacturer to the taxpayer when the goods were delivered to customers in Missouri, the title to the products subsequently transferred from the taxpayer to its customers. Finally, the Missouri Department of Revenue has issued frequently asked questions on the state's economic nexus law that becomes effective shortly. Specifically, effective January 1, 2023, a remote seller or a marketplace facilitator whose gross receipts from taxable sales of tangible personal property exceed $100,000 in the previous or current calendar year is required to register and collect vendor's use tax. Thank you for listening to Twist this week, and stay well.